It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Take command. I'm Craig Hoffman. He is Logan Paulson. So we know that the offense can also help out the defense in a major way by being more efficient, staying on the field, sustaining drives, playing that complementary football that has been such a huge part of Washington's success this season. And I want to start off kind of where we started off the film review pod all the way back 17 days ago yesterday, Logan, with Jaden Daniels in the run game. It's obviously been a huge, huge part of what they've done this year. Last couple of weeks, Dan Quinn kind of was asked basically, is this something that has been a conscious choice because of Jaden's rib injury? Was it something Pittsburgh did? And Dan goes, option C, some of both. And so when you watch this Philly defense, how much of the Commanders playbook from when they're at their best, when the quarterback run game is viable, when Jaden has some ability to scramble and extend plays, whatever the route concepts are, their runs that they like, how much of that is open, schematically speaking, against this Philly defense?
Feels like all of it's open in a way that it hasn't been for a couple of weeks. And what I mean by that is this defense, Vic Fangio is going to kind of do what he does. And I would be really surprised to see him do something different. And what I mean by that is he's going to play like softer coverage structures, right? He's of the kind of the more modern understanding of defense, which is, hey, we're going to play kind of split safety, we're going to play quarters, and then we're going to, from that basic quarter structure, we're going to kind of roll and shift and bounce around and get to the coverage we want and make it hard for the quarterback to understand what coverages we're in. And then, but the thing about that is they're off, right? So I think versus Pittsburgh, versus Cleveland, one of the things we saw is they were like, hey, we're going to play heavier box structures and we're going to play press man on the perimeter. And I have not seen them do a ton of that. Now, they haven't played a quarterback that can run like that, run like Jaden. So maybe they do that. I don't know. But I think that's the thing that I would kind of point to is like, it doesn't really seem like it's in his DNA to switch like that. He seems to be very comfortable with what they're doing. And to their credit, they're playing really good football in the back end of this defense. But I do think from a run game standpoint, I would probably try and think about getting them in sub runs. So get 11 personnel out there, get 12 personnel out there with Zach, make them match with Cooper DeJean, and get Jordan Davis off the field. Because when you watch them versus like 21 personnel, 13 personnel, and big Jordan Davis is out there with Jalen Carter and their other kind of three technique guy, Milton Williams, like they're tough, man. They're big inside. They're playing gap and a half. Like they're physical. They got guys that can set the edge pretty well for them. Obviously, Josh Sweat's a heck of a football player. Brandon Graham still playing at a very high level. And, you know, the guys on the other side are doing a great job for them at the left, Nolan Smith and Bryce Huff. Bryce Huff has kind of moved to more of a rotational pass rush role. He's done a great job with that. But the front's big and strong. So I don't want to run against the big, strong front. I want to get some bigger bodies out of there, get them in sub, get them to match, because they will match formation. And when you look at the times where the Commanders have been most successful, it's when defenses are very conscious of the formation, because it makes lighter boxes. And again, the numbers are favor just a straight run, but they also favor kind of some of that zone read stuff or some of the bubble screen stuff. So I fully expect that to be everything to be on the table.
That's good. And it sounds like Jaden's rib is just getting better and better. And so they're a little more willing to run him. And I'm sure after last week, they're going to reemphasize whatever the, hey man, just pull it down and go point was that has made him so successful this season. And, you know, we talked about it on the Pittsburgh film review. It's like, did they figure something out that other teams can replicate? Sure. Be great at multiple positions personnel wise and have more discipline than any other team in the NFL. If it was that easy, everyone would do it. So yeah. While this Philly team is very talented up front, they're just not going, one, they stylistically, they play differently. And two, they do not have the discipline that Pittsburgh does, which is not to say they're undisciplined, but no one has the discipline that Pittsburgh does.
Just to that point, like I will say, like when you watch them on film, they do have guys on the interior of the defensive line that can really push the pocket. Obviously, Jalen Carter and Milton Williams, like I don't know a lot about him, but he does flash on film as an interior pass rusher. And so that's one of the things that comes out of the Pittsburgh game is when you got guys on the interior that can rush really well and compress the pocket, it does make it harder for Jaden to do what you were describing and like step up and go. Now, like what you were saying too, this is all good stuff here. That's why I wanted to double click on some of it, is they're not crazy disciplined, right? They're not like super locked in on rush lanes. They're not, you know what I'm saying? They win, they compress the pocket. They can do all the stuff that Pittsburgh did. It just, to me, it's like, can they do it with the same level of consistency Pittsburgh did? Because they're plenty talented, right? Like Brandon Graham, like talk about one of the best pocket compressing rush ends maybe in the last 30 years of the NFL. He can do that. Josh Sweat, same thing. But then you get Nolan Smith and Bryce Huff in there. They're more perimeter rushers and they create rush lanes underneath. And they haven't had to be super conscious of like keeping rush integrity. So they've got the pieces to do it for sure. Jordan Davis, I think when you watch him, he can absolutely push a pocket. But can they do it with the consistency that Pittsburgh did? And because it's such a young group, such kind of an inexperienced group, I would think probably not.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's not like Jaden forgot how to do it. There's a play last week that gets wiped off the board because of offsetting penalties, but that play that Jaden rolls out and just smokes a ball to Noah Brown on the sideline, great toe tap, would have been like a 25-yard gain or something like that. It gets wiped off the board. So, like, it's still in there. He's going to be just fine. It's just a matter of getting the opportunities. You talk about the press man stuff. I thought this was fascinating from Next Gen Stats. Kenyon Mitchell, before the week 5 bye, played 2.1% of his snaps in press man. He's over 34% since the bye. Yeah. Now, Terry McLaurin, who was likely to be lined up against Mitchell based off the fact that he lines up outside left 75% of the time, and Mitchell lines up outside right, so defensive right equals offensive left, 97% of the time, has a league high plus 4.1 receptions over expected against press. So you got strength on strength here. Terry has been just abusing anybody that tries to play him in man coverage. Like, he takes it personally as an insult. Like, how dare you think that you can cover me in man? How does Cliff try to make sure that that is advantageous? And if do you think Vic Fangio will give Terry those opportunities, or do they just revert to the things that Vic wants to do anyway, which is those softer structures and leaving a rookie not on Terry McLaurin?
Yeah, so one of the things, like, when you watch earlier in the season, like, Quinyon Mitchell, because it's not a soft structure because they're playing match out of it, right? So it has man principles, and I think the thing that with Quinyon, there's a couple times where, I mean, he can run with anybody in the NFL. Like, he does a great job in coverage. He's big. He's physical. He can just flat out fly, man. His acceleration, I don't know what his top end speed is, but his acceleration is tremendous. So, like, on short stuff, like, he's at top speed, it feels like, immediately, you know? And again, he's had some issues. And so in this match coverage, there's often times where he's carrying a vertical and they kind of switch release one and two. So he's guarding the first receiver and the second receiver, they switch, and he gets so locked in on number one that number two, who's kind of running this rail or like outside release out route, like, is just lost in coverage, right? And so I do think that if I'm the defensive coordinator, what I want to do is I want to make sure that he feels comfortable. And he does seem that he's like a little bit more comfortable in man-to-man, just with the assignments and where he fits and all that kind of stuff, because he played a lot of zone in college and match is a little bit more complicated. And I think we saw how complicated match can be for teams to learn when Jack Del Rio was here, because they're always trying to run match. They're always trying to kind of, and guys are screwing stuff up all the time. And so maybe that's a way to kind of simplify it for him. I do think that's going to be a really interesting matchup because, you know, he kind of torched Joey Porter Jr. He torched Banks up in New York, who are kind of good athletic young guys. Quinyon feels to me, when I watch the film, just like a different cut of athlete. You know, he's just a little bit quicker, a little bit stronger. His anticipatory skills are a little bit better. And I think Terry, the matchup favors Washington in this. But I'm curious. There's certain matchups you kind of are excited to watch. And that's one that I'm specifically excited to watch because of Terry's ability, but also because of the athlete that you're getting in Quinyon. It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Put you on Mitchell.
By the way, since that week five bye, Cooper DeJean is also playing outstanding. He was injured, came back actually week six. He's recorded the highest coverage success rate amongst slot corners since his return in week six, 73.9% success rate, allowing a negative 12.6 target EPA over that period, second fewest amongst slot cornerbacks.
This is going to sound crazy, but he reminds me a little bit of like Jalen Ramsey. Just like he's big, he's pretty physical, he can run with people, he's got these kind of great ball instincts, you know what I mean? And so like when you look at teams that have run this defense that have been really successful, like the LA Rams, like Jalen Ramsey was the nickel, right? Then you go to Miami, and when they were really good at it, Jalen Ramsey was the nickel. And so I think when you have a guy like this, it gives you a lot of flexibility because he's, again, he's bigger than you think. I think that's surprising too. He looks like a big, like almost like a pseudo linebacker safety on film. He can run. And again, he's very intuitive, which is fun to see. And he's physical in the run game and he can blitz. And so that's exactly what you want from that position. And not many people have it. And so to see him kind of growing into that role before our eyes is special. And so like when you look at their secondary, man, they're doing a great job. It's him, it's those two guys we just talked about, CJ Gardner-Johnson. Reed Blankenship is playing absolutely out of his mind right now. He's kind of their box safety. He's an absolute maniac. And obviously Slay has done a great job too, you know, like maybe not as he's obviously on the back nine of his career, but still playing at a high level. And so that's the thing about the defense, is that group's playing well. The linebackers are playing outstanding, you know, outstanding. Zach Bond, I didn't even know who this guy was until this season.
Yeah, he's like first season really playing off-ball linebacker. He was an edge guy who's now playing off-ball. He's playing great.
He's like a maniac. Like he's in coverage. He's blitzing. He's like taking on blocks at the line of scrimmage. And he's not like this thumper, but he's a good athlete. He's got great instincts. And then you couple that with N'Kobe Dean, who – early in the season, I thought, man, this guy's going to have a hard time. But he's kind of starting to figure it out a little bit. And, like, we just named almost everybody on their defense, and they're all playing well. And they're all kind of impacting the game. So this is, again, an interesting matchup because this defensive structure is kind of going out of vogue at the moment because you can't get enough pressure in it usually, right? But now because they've got such good coverage players, they've got such good young rushers, it's like – it still works for them. And I think you were telling me this before we started, that they're like the third best defense or something over the last couple of weeks. And
they're the NFL. Best defense yards per game over their last three. They're averaging 213 yards given up per game, which is number one by like 50 yards a game.
And it 100% shows up. It 100% shows up. Like last week versus Pittsburgh, you're like, this group is well coached. They're fast. They're physical. But this is like a different thing. It's like a different. Everyone's a good athlete. The space and the windows get tight really quick. Do they make mental mistakes? Are they perfect? Yeah, no. They make mental mistakes and they're not perfect. But there's just an athleticism that is apparent, and they're starting to understand the system that makes it a little bit like, oh, this is going to be tough sledding if they're not careful.
So what about the run game? Is that potentially where the opportunity lies?
How much
does Brian Robinson and Andrew Wiley being back, like how much would that change how you feel about this game if both those guys are back?
I think it's going to be an absolute war up front because I think those guys, like we talked about, the defensive line is pretty physical and they play hard. But I do think if you can regulate, kind of if you can get back to B-Rob averaging, you know, 3.8, 4.2 yards a carry and get that efficiency back up, they cannot stay in these structures they want to stay in, right? If B-Rob's doing what he's doing. And now that's a big if. People have not been able to do this. But we talked about how streaky the offense was. One of the reasons they can be so streaky is because the defense is playing so well. They can kind of futz around and make mistakes, and then the defense keeps them in it. So if you can kind of possess the football, maintain drives, and which they've shown an ability to do, and I think running the football has been a huge part of that. Like we've talked about multiple times how efficient B-Rob is as an individual rusher. If he's back in the lineup and Wiley's back in the lineup playing good physical football, they can run the ball a little bit. I think that's absolutely going to be a huge, huge impactful element of this game.
Yeah, teams I'm looking at like opponent rush percentage, and they're like 25th in the league in terms of rushes that they face. But they're also pretty good at it. They're 24th. So what's that like? Actually, if I just hit the arrow the other way, it'll do the math for me. Ninth best in the league in EPA per play per rush. So like they're not facing a ton of rushes, but they're also doing a good job when they do. So it's a tough unit, but
we said this before, the most talented offense, and I think definitely per person, the most talented defense we've seen this year, the Commanders have seen this year. And that athleticism creates problems because it lets them do stuff that none of the teams can do. They're playing all these soft structures because they can handle it with their front. They can get after you with four. They blitz a little bit, but they can have to get after with those four rushers too. So I do think it's going to – I wish we had longer to prep for him because I do think Cliff could just absolutely dissect this coverage if he wanted to, and I think he will still be able to in a short week. But this is a tough game. This is a tough team. And the more I watch them over the last 5 weeks of the season, I'm like, man, this is the team that we all thought they would be at the beginning of the year before they kind of had that rough start. And right now, in terms of teams that are going to like challenge Detroit or whatever, like this is the one. And so if you talk about a measuring stick game or a kind of a playoff type feel, like this is exactly what this game is to me. And that's one of the reasons it's so exciting, because it's like, can you go from that Pittsburgh game, digest that, internalize that, and come out and play a heck of a football team in Philadelphia?
Yeah, and by the way, they play with light boxes, just clicking around more on the next-gen stats here. Light boxes second most in the league. They're 65%, which is a percentage or less than a percentage point behind the Chargers in light boxes. So they'll invite it, but they also know how to play with those light boxes. Yeah. So going to be a huge challenge, and we'll see how it is. And by the way, thank God it's an easy place to play. You know, Philadelphia, night game, everyone's liquored up. Famously easy place to play, Lincoln Financial Field.
It's going to be quite the environment. And if the team can come out and just kind of weather the storm and just show the maturity that they've shown over the course of the season, like, it gets me incredibly excited for what this is and where we are in terms of the restructuring and rebuilding of this roster and this team and the culture. Like, it's an awesome, if you're a Commanders fan, this is going to be an awesome game. Like, if it goes well, it's like, man, this is the real deal. This is a real deal football team here, like a for sure playoff bound Philadelphia Eagles team. And again, it's exciting.
Since you are going to be wearing the Commanders polo on the sideline, are you also going to wear like a bike helmet?
Yeah, I probably should, right? Probably should wear some
a jacket, a little more incognito.
Yeah, it's going to be cold, so I'm going to be nice and layered up, ready to go. Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe then the Philly fans won't know a giant 6'5" man walking around with a microphone. Be like, hey, guys, I don't think I need the mic flag today. It's the radio broadcast. No one's going to see this.
That's right.
No, it's just, you don't want to, because they're going to yell. I will say, some of the funniest heckles that I've ever heard were, I'm trying to remember who it was. Commanders had like a kick returner who was just getting heckled in pregame warmups, and it was so like they were creative and funny to the point that like he turned around and started laughing at the fans. Right. So it's also I've said this many times before, but it's the only fan base that I ever traveled to a game as a reporter where the fans knew where the opposing press was in the press box, where they just bang on the window, be like, "Ah, your team sucks," and I was like, "Yeah, it's Washington, and it's 2018. They do." What are we going to do about it? All right. So here's the deal. Friday morning, we will do an instant reaction pod. So that'll be a shorter show, but we'll give our first reaction of the game with some level of sleep on it from the night before. So that'll be Friday morning. So make sure you subscribe so that hits your feeds ASAP. And then we're on a regular pod schedule next week. So Tuesday, we will do the film review. Thursday, we will get ready for Cooper Rush and the Dallas Cowboys, or maybe Trey Lance and the Dallas Cowboys. We'll figure that out next week. But as for now, until then, see you on the radio. Again, we'll have all the injury updates. Make sure you tune in to the Hoffman Show 4 to 7. Today, Wednesday, we'll have the latest injury report. And then tomorrow, we'll have the inactive list during the show. So make sure that you tune in and figure out who's playing. Nevertheless, all the analysis, including Ross Tucker, who's calling the game for Westwood One, will join us today at 5:00. For Logan, I'm Craig, and we will see you next time on Take Command. Enjoy the game, everybody. It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.